Greetings. This is James Gillen with Wish Talk Radio. It's been a while, and I'm glad to be back on the air. I have to apologize. We've had some very extreme challenges here up at the ranch, having some major quarter appearances and things like that. Just keep the doors open here. Be steady. It seems that some take a very dim view of people exerting their rights, you know, and watching UFOs, you know, so a couple of court appearances, and more than that, actually, we've had about four, but it's going really well. You know, I hear told us that, you know, we had no right to privacy, we had no freedom of speech, and no right to practice our spiritual beliefs, and the rights they said we didn't have, right to assembly. But, you know, anyway, we fully cooperated with the county for a long time, you know, paid for all the permits, did everything they deemed necessary. And rather than give us the permits, they decided to write us fines and tickets, even after we cooperated and paid for everything. And so after three rounds of fines, you know, it was pretty crazy. But, We might have to reconnect here. We're having a little some crazy solar activity, so give us just a moment. We're going to go and try to reconnect and see if we can get a little better signal here. Okay, hopefully this is a little better. The studio is telling me we got some real iffy connections, but anyway, to make a long story short. You know, well, we're still getting an intermittent signal. I don't know why. Hopefully that'll clear up. You know, it could be in the lines. Is the signal doing okay? Let me check with you. Okay. Well, we'll just keep going and see what happens. All right. So we're just going to keep going. You know, it seems like people don't like us talking about this stuff. But anyway, after some intense training and a lot of work, a lot of group effort here, we finally seem to have straightened things out. And the judge actually dismissed himself, and we seem to be going to the next level. And if we do go to the next level, it's not good news for the county. So. You know, it's because of what they've done. But anyway, it's really time for all of us, you know, to stand up, you know, for ourselves and, you know, and definitely, you know, exert our rights. You know, there's an old maxim that he who does not stand for his rights has none. And, you know, they do push those rights, and it's time for us to realize, you know, that we do have inalienable rights. You know, they're God-given rights. They're even beyond the Constitution. The Constitution just defines those rights. But, you know, it's time for the people to stand up and just say enough's enough. You know, we do have the right to live a loving, joyous, prosperous life in peace and harmony with each other and the land. And really, we have a right to do with our property as we wish. And that's the bottom line. And especially when no harm has come to anybody, and you've had 25 years of service to humanity, Earth, with no harm or no accidents, and no victims, that can't really charge you with these heinous crimes, you know, that they make up in their own minds. Anyway, everything is flying good. Everything's looking good. There's incredible UFO activity here at the ranch right now. You know, it's unbelievable the things we've been watching flying around the ranch. I want to give people a heads up. There is a massive sunspot. This thing is 60,000 miles wide. It's a huge sunspot, and it's going direct. It's aiming right at us, and if it decides to burp one out, coronal mass ejection or a flare, we're going to be right, you know, it's going to be a head-on collision here. So we might have a little crazy activity here in the next few days, you know, with the grid and with the communications and, you know, the ATM machines and everything else. You know, so that's an ongoing thing. This is increasing, and it's probably going to increase exponentially. May 5th, we just had a major alignment. A lot of energy came in on the 5th, and I've been telling people about that. Now, the next one is the 20th, and we have some events scheduled. You know, go ahead and check into the eSETI reservations if you want to find out about any events happening here at the ranch, any gatherings or conferences, and mainly mostly about the tours. I'll be going out and doing some talking and things and find out where I'm going to be next and what shows are up and things like that. So it'd be good to check in that at the email at the eSETI reservations at gmail.com. It's on the website. You'll find out more. We've got a major solar eclipse coming up on the 20th. We have some major alignments with Alcyon and are coming into alignment with a galactic plane. So basically we're getting ready for some big energies to be coming into the planet. So hang on to your hats. And speaking about a lot of these big energies and things that are happening, a lot of information is coming through. We have a special guest tonight, and our special guest is Bill Ryan, who just popped into the show out of the blue. So we're going to try to bring Bill on the air and talk about, you know, some of the latest events that are going on and what's going on in his life as well. So, Bill, are you with us?
James, I'm right here, and it's a pleasure to have arrived here out of the blue, in your own words. And it is out of the blue because it's a gorgeous day. It's going to be a fantastic night, and I'm really pleased to be here. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Oh, glad to have you. What's up? What's up in your life now? I know you've got a lot of different things going on. It looks like we're getting a little crazy feedback, unfortunately, but that happens whenever we do these shows for some reason.
Okay.
But
I can hear you loud and clear as long as the important people out there who are your audience can hear me. And just stop me if you feel that I'm breaking up or if I'm talking too fast or anything weird is happening.
Okay.
But I'm here in the U.S. basically on a very brief shopping trip. It's an in-and-out shopping trip because I've relocated myself to Ecuador, as many of your listeners will know. And one of the reasons why I'm in Ecuador is basically because if the northern hemisphere starts to go to hell in a handbasket, as we say in the UK, then the southern hemisphere is not a bad place to be. And a country like Ecuador, where you've got raw milk on supply from the farmers, still warm from the cow, and you've got organic fruit on the trees and heavily mineralized water and diesel subsidized at $1.03 per gallon.
Wow.
In a pretty liberal country with an all-year-round growing season, it's got quite a lot going for it. You can't get hold of fancy electronics down there, which is one of the reasons why I've come up here for a brief shopping trip. But Ecuador is likely to be my new home, and it's very, very interesting, I have to say. Having spent most of the last 9 months there and then coming back into the U.S. to get the feeling for what it all feels like, what it all looks like. It's a little bit like being the noble savage in the Brave New World, and I stand here in the middle of all these shopping malls and freeways looking around and thinking, my God, you know, all these people think that this is utopia. This is incredible. And I guess from your perspective here in Trout Lake, it probably feels a bit like that sometimes when you go to Portland, right?
Yeah, very, very similar. It's hard to get off the mountain here and mix in the world of social consciousness, we call it, because our lifestyle is just totally different up here.
It's very, very interesting. Just coming back to the U.S. after quite a long time away, because there's this illusion that everything is just perfect. It's like you go into the supermarket and people smile their smile and they say, you know, how are you doing today, sir? Have you had a nice day? And you do all this small talk stuff. And everyone's sort of artificially cheery. And there's this sort of universal consumer experience in the U.S. And this is one of the things that really hit me. It's like everything is laid on. Everything is easy. It's easy to find things. You don't have to work for anything. Everything is laid on. You can just get on the net and dial up anything you want or order anything you want, and every shopping mall looks the same. And you kind of think, people think that this is the good life. And yet you stand in the middle of all of this and there's something missing. There's something empty. There's something that's unreal. And you think, my God, you know, this is really only skin deep. Underneath all of this, there's something that's so badly wrong that it's almost impossible to be able to summarize in just a sentence or two. And I know that you've been tracking this all your life. So again, of course, I'm not saying anything that's new to you at all.
Yeah. It is sad, you know, when you look at, I mean, even the food is almost looking artificial now.
Really, you know, one of the things that really welcomed me to Ecuador, and this may sound like a little strange to some of your listeners, but others will really understand, it's like my body started talking to me. And, of course, I'm very well aware that my body and myself are two different entities. It's like the cowboy riding his horse. You know, it's like you've got to take care of yourself and you've got to take care of your horse. And sometimes the horse communicates. And when I first landed in Ecuador, which was last summer, it was the end of last June, coming up to a year ago, actually, and I started just experiencing the life energy that was down there. And one of the experiences I had, somebody picked a lemon off a tree and just gave it to me. It's like it had been on the tree just 30 seconds before. They gave it to me and they put it in my hand. And I swear that this thing was wriggling around like a mouse. It was so alive. It was astonishing. Mm-hmm. And once I started to eat this fruit, my body was saying to me, listen, my body was saying, if you want to maximize your lifespan, and my body was saying, if you want me to do a good job for you and continue to do a good job for you for the next 20 or 30 years, then you need to support me. And the way you need to support me is to live in a place like this, you know, because if you keep on going to Denny's for breakfast, I can't keep this up for much longer. And so it was, and like that sounds like a joke, but it was real. It was really real. And one of the things that is there is there's this abundant life force. And once again, just feeding this back to where you are here in Trout Lake, you have some of that in a slightly different form. I think it's a more refined form, but you've definitely got something here that you don't see in downtown Portland, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the veils between worlds are very thin here, and there's just so much energy here. You can cut it with a knife. I mean, if you go out and meditate, you'll just see all these little white squiggly things zipping around, and looks like a plasma field almost.
Well, sure. And one of the reasons why I'm here is because ever since I came here the first time, and I've only been here once before, and I only came for a few hours. I came, I think it was pretty much 5 years ago. Uh-huh. It was either in April or June 2007. It feels like 100 years ago, I tell you.
Yeah.
And I came here with Carrie Cassidy, my Project Camelot partner. And at that time, I had heard the stories, because even then, stories were beginning to circulate about Isete and Trout Lake and all the phenomena that were there. And we could barely believe this. And, of course, this is a refrain that you've heard 1,000 times, you know, that people say, well, you know, I couldn't believe it until I came here, and then I saw it with my own eyes, and wow. And Carrie and I were hardly the uninitiated, you know. Mm-hmm. We were willing to experience anything, and individually and together we had experienced some interesting things. But we thought, well, we're only dropping in here for just a few hours, and, you know, just maybe we might see something, and we're just kind of hoping for the best. We actually came as a side trip from dropping into Portland to interview Dan Sherman, the author of Above Black, and that's really why we came up here. And then we thought, well, we're just near a Trout Lake, let's just drop in, you never know. And I think we arrived at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We left at 9 o'clock the next morning. We had to leave at 9 o'clock the next morning because we were on a tight time schedule. Mm-hmm. And it got dark in the middle of the evening. We just looked up there hoping for the best, and then we were treated with a real fireworks display. And it's like we were stunned. And then, and there's James, who's nonchalant, you see. Oh, you know, this happens every night. I've stopped taking photographs. There's no point in taking any more video. I've got thousands of hours already. And, you know, this is just regular. And for anyone who's not been here, you know, I tell you, this is real. And I don't understand it. James is the only person I know who can explain it. It's some kind of a portal. The experiences are real. There's all kinds of energies come here. They're craft in the sky. They all show up and they put on a display and they respond to your thoughts and intentions, don't they, James?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have lasers too. We play with them, but you don't even need it. You could just put your thought on them and tell them to power up and they will. They'll do a big power up and light up the sky and pulse you with energy and then make a turn and zip off, you know, in another direction. Satellites don't do that.
There's a part of me that was a little disappointed when James invited me on the show that might go on until 10 o'clock tonight. He's like, wait a minute, I'm going to miss some of the excitement. But then you reassured me that I wouldn't miss anything at all because that's not the way it works down here. People don't miss things if they want to see things, right?
No. And, you know, too, it's still pretty light out, so we can't even see much. You know, we can't bring out the night vision gear or anything else. But as soon as it gets, you know, when it gets dark enough, you know, if you want, you can actually wander out to the field and start interviewing people. And some of the people that have been here the past couple of nights and ask them what they've seen because while you're out there, you'll probably see a few things yourself.
Well, right. Yes. Just before we started this, we were looking at some of your videos, which you'd recorded through night vision. And it was interesting seeing these craft just kind of zipping around the sky, these big bright lights that clearly weren't satellites and clearly weren't planes, and they're doing something else, and they vary their brightness. They power up like somebody turning up a rheostat on a wall switch, and then kind of whoomp, and then down it goes again. And then what's really fun is the reaction, which you got on the audio from the people who are watching. It's like, wow, look at this. I can't believe it. That's incredible. Did you see that? You know. So that might be quite fun for a radio show, I have to say.
Yeah, it's totally life-changing for people when they come up because all of a sudden when they see this themselves, they go, well, wait a second. If this is real, then what else is going on? And if I've been lied to about this, what else have I been lied to? And it really starts a major opening and reevaluation of everything when people come up here.
Really, I believe it. And you told me that you've had people up here from the military and from the agencies and from the aerospace companies, not necessarily. I mean, just kind of off record. They're personally curious, aren't they, these guys?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, we've had NASA up here. We've had some major people from NASA up here, and they know it's real. And I said, hey, would you want to go on the show? And they said, no way. I said, don't even use my name, you know, anywhere because I'll get fired, you know. So they come up, you know, people come up to check it out for themselves. And you know, some very top people have been up here with all the agencies, including NASA and triple PhD Boeing engineers and Lockheed engineers. And you know what, we had about 200 people here doing an intention experiment. And where we did a meditation and we invited the ships to come in. And afterwards, everybody walked outside. And I had John Riley, who's a Lockheed engineer. He's a physicist. And Brooks Agnew, who's a biophysicist. And Renato Lingotto and God, I don't know how many other people were here. Major people. Dolores Cannon was here. Mary Rodwell. Just a huge list of people that everybody knows. And this beautiful pink orange ship just comes in and flies right over the top of the conference building for everybody to see. And we filmed it as well.
Wow.
You know, so if you do an intention experiment and they show up and you've got physicists in the crowd and very well-known people, and then you get it on film on top of that, you know, you have to start wondering why people are keep asking, when is contact going to happen? You know?
Oh, boy, yes, that's right. I mean, it's like, yeah, I have those thoughts myself every time I hear somebody interviewed, you know, from SETI, ESETI, SETI, S-E-T-I, you know, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence with these big radio telescopes they got down in Arecibo in Puerto Rico and stuff, and they're trying to decode little signals, and they're trying to say, well, you know, we don't know these signals. If they're there, they're coming from civilizations that are potentially thousands of light years away, and they could never possibly get here because it's just too far. And Einstein said this, and it's like don't you, you know, can't you see that the proof is right here, you know, in front of your eyes?
And, yeah.
And it only takes, I mean, this is the argument, of course, that is so well made by people like Rich Dolan, who I think we both know. It's like, it only takes one sighting of a craft, or of an ET, better still, of the literally hundreds of thousands that have been reported ever since, well, mm-hmm. I was going to say ever since 1947, but actually all throughout history, only one to have been real. For the whole paradigm to demand to be re-examined. You know, it's like you only have to see one white crow to prove that not all crows are black. And and the evidence is right there. It's absolutely right there for anyone to see. If anyone wants to know, and I think that's the key, isn't it? It's just that, you know, if you want to know, then it's there. If you don't want to know, then nothing's going to make you look.
I always tell people, you know, that especially the UFO field is so riddled with disinformation. And then there's people that are giving out misinformation from the disinformation that think it's real. You know, they have their inside sources supposedly that fed them the disinformation. And then you have some overactive imaginations in there as well. But the field is just so full of crazy nonsense and riddled with disinformation. To get the truth out there, it's just the truth. You know, the old saying, you know, that the lie travels around the world twice before the truth has time to tie its shoes. But, you know, that's kind of what's happening. And I kind of backed out of most of the circuit and the field. And I'm not really going on the major circuits anymore, talking at any of the major UFO events just because of that. They've been so compromised. But, you know, even some radio shows, some major radio shows out there are very compromised. But, you know, in just watching this, the program and what's going on there, you know, they keep running these programs of, well, you know, we think they're going to land in 2012. They're going to come and we're going to have contact in 2012 or, you know, they're out there somewhere. You know, we don't know who they are, but the game seems to be keep it far away and keep it unknown, keep it far away or keep it in the past. And those guys just get the pulpit, you know, they get all the press. If you can keep it in the past and keep it off in the distance. But the people that really know what's going on, that are in the here and now and that are having contact, are just shoved aside and pushed off into a corner somewhere and, you know, never to be heard from.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We're just able to speak for not much more than a few minutes, actually, before the radio show started. But in that brief time, I got the very strong impression that you and I were going to, as a friend of mine likes to say, to agree violently about a lot of stuff here, because I suspect we have a lot of similar views.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some interesting things which I'd like to ask you about, because we haven't had much of a chance to catch up personally. It was last year, I think it was last year, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I seem to remember getting an email circular from you, an email announcement. I think it was ordered, because I don't know if I'm on your mailing list or not, which basically said that you were going to take a step back and withdraw from the whole public scene because you were so disgusted with a lot of the things that were happening. Was that last year, James? Have I got that right?
I think it was a little longer than that. It might have been a couple years ago. You might have got it a little later. But, you know, basically what I said is I'm done with the major UFO groups and those, you know, venues, mainly because, you know, they're just basic. I was being censored all the way through, constantly. And it was just unbelievable. And I was listening to the information they're pushing, which was always fearful and always negative and always dark. And there's just one program going there. And then they have all these experts coming on over and over again that have never even seen a ship. They don't even know who's on the ships, what their intentions are or goals, or they don't, you know, they have no knowledge whatsoever, but they are branded as experts and they're, you know, they've got the limelight over and over again. And I just go, my God, who are these people? And where do they come up with this stuff? And they have no, you know, they haven't even seen the ship. They don't have any footage. They don't have any evidence. They don't have any proof to back up anything that they're saying. You know, why are these people still, you know, at the forefront of ufology? And it just got so ridiculous. And there was so much competition and so much backstabbing. I just said, you know, this is exactly the reason why we don't have contact. you know, if any highly advanced...
Yeah, you know, this is what I say all the time. I just look at some ridiculous human spectacle, which is kind of dramatically playing itself out, you know, and I just say, well, this is why they don't land, you know.
Exactly.
Why they're not here, you know. Yeah, either because they can't figure it out, or because they think we're crazy, or because they think we're dangerous, or you know, I mean, but... I mean, yeah. The human race is such a joke sometimes. It's embarrassing to be a human being, and I'm sure you feel that all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the program now is basically we're either going to shoot at them or we're going to worship them or, you know, we're going to try to knock them down and steal their technology and back engineer for the war industry and probably dissect them as well, you know, to get their genetics. You know, it's just crazy stuff, you know, going on. And we're doing everything that they don't want to be involved with. You know, they want us to, you know, rise to the occasion and start being decent human beings first and, you know, let go of all these, you know, transcend all these religious and cultural boundaries, you know, and start seeing, you know, the creator and all creation and everyone and everything and just stop all this warring and fear and nonsense, you know, and then we're ready. Then we're ready for a contact. But if we are going to connect with highly advanced beings, we have to rise to the occasion. You know,
we're worth contacting. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to take a while.
But, let me ask you this question, because this is an honest-to-God question, because I don't know what your position is on this. What do you feel the ET agendas are? And I use the word... agendas in the plural deliberately, because there have to be many, many, many different races. I mean, just as there are different factions, different groups, different societies and agendas just on planet Earth, among the ETs, the Project Camelot witness Henry Deacon said that he knew of at least 40 different ET races, and Clifford Stone is famous for saying that he knew of 57 when he was actively involved, and there are probably hundreds, if not thousands.
Oh, yes.
Do you feel, let me ask you this straight, as Stephen Greer does, that they are all benevolent, or do you think that it's a real mixed bag?
You know, it's definitely a mixed bag, and I'm not speaking about this from... reading books and things. I'm speaking from straight hand experience. There are low level contacts. There are low level entities. There are some gray and reptilian factions and some astral beings, whatever you want to call it. There's some very dark forces out there that certain groups have actually called in and work with those energies. And then there's some groups that are just observers. They're just observing, you know, what's going on. And here, you know, this grand unfoldment, you might say, or this grand awakening healing process. And then there's some that are very, very involved in assisting us to rise to the occasion. They're assisting us in this quantum leap in evolution that we're undergoing. And they're actually doing a lot on our behalf in negating, you know, some of these regenerate or low-level beings that have been running amok down here. And so for a while there, because we were pretty barbaric and primitive, we still are, we're still warring on each other and everything else, that kind of opened the door for some of these negative ETs to come in. And the consciousness at the time was, you know, we want the best war toys we can get, the best technology we can get, because those whoever has the best technology usually wins the war. And so in the interest of national security, there were some alignments made with some low-level beings and trades for genetics and other things as well. And so there's a lot of experimentation going on. But that part of the puzzle is phasing out right now because there's more of a benevolent presence here now that's kind of stepping in and saying no more. You know, you can't continue to interfere with Earth's evolution and its own healing process.
Right. What do you feel about the reports that you and I and many of your listeners have heard? I would say claims rather than reports, that there have been various kinds of ET intervention to disable various underground military bases and so on and so forth. Conveniently in places where this information can't be checked, underground bases, undersea bases, and so on and so forth. What's your personal take on that?
Well, you know, my personal take is I'm very hopeful that is happening, but the other part of me, you know, the more science-minded part of me is saying, you know, where's the beef? I mean, I keep asking people, is there any evidence whatsoever? And the only evidence, and we talked a little bit about this earlier, not much, but, you know, as the only evidence is that there has been some seismic activity in those areas. You know, some of the areas, there's a lot of trucks moving in and out of those. They're still moving in and out of those areas that are supposed to be abandoned and gone, basically. So, you know, I really, you know, it's the same thing with all these arrests, you know, these imminent arrests and things. We've been hearing these stories since the late 70s that these people are going to be arrested and these major funds are going to be released. And, you know, we're all going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya and ascend. You know, those stories have been going around for a long time, and I think eventually that's where we're headed. But at the same time, I just love to see some evidence. You know, what's your take on that?
Oh boy! Well, my response to a question like that is, don't get me started. You know, the sort of energetic signature of claims that ETs have taken out underground bases. It's like, don't worry, guys, stay at home, just continue reading reports on the internet or reading claims on the internet, and everything's just fine because it's all going to be handled for you. You don't need to take any personal responsibility, and someone's going to come and rescue you. The energetic signature of that is similar to the energetic signature of claims that on some magical day of the calendar, everything's suddenly going to turn itself inside out and we're all going to get turned into angelic beings. And I'm being a little bit flip here about various people's ascension claims. And I do sincerely mean that I don't want to offend anybody who is hoping that some superior agency, as it were, is going to pull a big wall switch and then suddenly everything is going to be transformed here on planet Earth. But you and I both know that spiritual development is hard work. It takes many, many years. It can take many, many lifetimes. And it's not going to be done automatically as if one was taking a pill. And it certainly can't be done on one's behalf by somebody else deciding that it's going to happen for you. Mm-hmm. And that also has the same energetic signature, in my view, in my strong view, as claims that that all the global controllers are about to be arrested, and when that happens, don't panic, folks. Just stay at home, lock your doors, don't try and leave the country because all the airports will be closed, but this is only for your own protection, and just watch TV and you get all the information from there. I'm kind of thinking, how stupid do they think people are, you know, that could actually be believed? I mean, it's like when the FBI are meticulously planning a mafia drug raid, they don't go on the news to say it's going to happen the next day or even at any time. You know, it's like these things are covert And these things are announced. If they're real, they're announced after it happens, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's the number one rule of law enforcement is you don't show your hand when you're about to pull a sting. And the very idea that this is being, that these seeds are being sown around the internet to lure, and once again, this is not intended to be disrespectful to any individual, I promise you, you know, but basically to lure hopeful and gullible and optimistic people into thinking, ah, thank God, there's a deus ex machina here, there's somebody who's going to do this all for us, I don't need to worry anymore, I don't need to take any personal responsibility, it's all going to magically happen overnight. And there's this magically happening overnight thing that is the danger for me. And we've seen this with the Nasara prosperity packages, and they're always about to be released next Monday, and then there's always a problem that stops it. And the reevaluation of the dinar comes in the same boat as well, and it's just like, I just roll my eyes. And that's a very long answer, as I think I started this by saying, don't get me started, and you did get me started. But
well, it does seem like people are being lulled into a false sense of security. And also, it's taken away personal responsibility. If we are going to turn this planet around, we all need to rise to the occasion. We all need to get busy and take action, and you know, and to think that these other people are going to do everything for us, I think is very disempowering. And you know, I know there is help out there, and there are. I'll tell you my take on this. Basically, is that. This is what I do know for sure. I do know the Earth is getting hit with up to 500 times more energy than just a short time ago. It used to be about 50 hits from different sources from the cosmos. Now it's up to 500. We are moving into a highly energized place in space. The Russian scientists have all talked about this for quite some time and are measuring it. We are moving into an alignment with galactic plane where there's going to be major magnetic waves and energies pressing on the planet. And I know Stanford, when they took monkeys and gave them, you know, put them in front of magnetic fluctuations, that they exhibited behavior from comatose to self-mutilation. So, and I do know the sun is conscious, and it is just slamming the Earth and affecting the bioelectric fields around the human body. So any way you look at it scientifically, that we are moving through a huge quantum leap in consciousness and energy or frequency. So the people that are holding those very heavy, dense frequencies of separation and tyranny and things like that are not going to be frequency specific to where the planet's going. But again, that doesn't take away personal responsibility or we have to match those frequencies. We have to do our work to shift this place and clean up our own mess. And I think there's help. I mean, the ETs, the ultra-dimensional beings and the higher dimensional beings, all these beings that are assisting us that have been there for a long time, I think there's, you know, legions of those and for assistance. But, you know, that old saying, God helps those who help themselves. We have to do our work here. And we have to get our own act together, and do it as a collective versus thinking, you know, a savior. I have a question for you, too. Like, you know, Obama, you know, I'm not into politics. I could give a crap, basically, because it's all programmed and chosen ahead of time. But these guys are saying that Obama is a white hat and that he's got our highest and best good and he's going to be our savior and everything else. You know, I've watched him reinstate the Patriot Act, that NDAA 1867, where you can be arrested anytime, anywhere by the military and shipped off to Guantanamo Bay. He just signed another one in secret where you can't protest, you know, in the presence of any major official that has any kind of Secret Service backing or whatever. It's a felony and they can throw you in jail for that one. I've watched every single one of our rights be taken away, and I'm still trying to understand how people still believe that this is a good thing?
Well, I can comment on that. But you said you had a question. Was there a specific question in there that you'd
like to ask? That was it. I mean, that was the question, is how I'm trying to understand, you know, where's the white hat? I haven't seen it yet. I'm trying to see the white hat somewhere.
Well, yeah. it can be answered on many levels, I think. The measure of any person is by what they're seen to be doing. Mm-hmm. And if Obama, I mean, let's be hypothetical about this. Supposing Obama was in some way a well-intentioned, decent man. I mean, let's just say that. Let's say that, you know, when he was a kid, he wanted to help the world, and he hoped that he could go into politics so that he could change something, so that he could have some leverage. You know, let's just assume that as a hypothesis. The problem is, it doesn't matter because whoever is sworn in as president, they're being controlled by power brokers who are far more senior than them, many of whom are faceless people whose names that we will never know, who wield enormous power and who control enormous assets, resources, and finance. He has his speeches written for him. Everything that he does, every move that he makes, every hand that he shakes almost is choreographed. And it's almost like it's an academic point, or it's an academically theoretical point, whether or not he's a good guy. The fact is that whoever the president is not permitted to do anything other than what he's told. And the last true president that America had was very probably Kennedy. And anybody else after that has been a puppet. And we've seen little signs of that. There's, as a Democrat, if you have Democratic leanings, you'll probably agree that Jimmy Carter was a good man. And he told everyone that as soon as he was in the White House, because he'd seen a UFO when he was younger, he was going to unveil the truth about UFOs, and he was going to make sure that the truth came out. And he was silenced immediately, you know, because as soon as he got his security briefing, he was ordered or led to understand in no uncertain terms that this was a matter of national security that was beyond the control of the president, and he'd better shut up and just stick to his script. And so this is something that, it seems to me, just kind of stepping sideways onto a related issue, that there are many people that you and I know who are still desperately hoping somehow that Ron Paul might be elected president, because Ron Paul is unquestionably a good man of high integrity, and he speaks the truth as best as he knows it, and he is the politician within America, as far as I can see, who is speaking the most truth and who has his hands on the most facts and who wants people to know. I think he's a good man. But if he was elected president, that would stop. He would be silenced. He would no longer be writing his own script. And I don't understand why people don't see that. It's actually better for us, it seems to me, that Ron Paul remains on the outside of the system, or rather on the outside of the core Washington system, rather than on the inside of the core Washington system, because at the moment he's able to speak out. If he was elected president, he certainly wouldn't be able to. And so that's my way of responding to your question about Obama. Even if he was a saint, his hands are tied and his lips are sealed, and it doesn't make any difference because the president doesn't run the country.
Yeah, I've always felt that as soon as they get in the office, they take him in the back room and they show him the Magruder film, you know, of Kennedy getting shot, and they said, "Are there any questions?" Now here's what you do. Now here's your outline for your presidency, you know, and just remember you've got kids and a wife, you know, that we can access at any time. And I'm sure that goes on. I have no doubt whatsoever. But, you know, to me, it's just like, you know, what's the definition of insanity? You know, doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And that's people, every year they get all excited. This guy's going to change it. This guy's going to do it. You know, they make all the promises, you know, we're going to get out of war. We're going to, you know, bring the troops home. You know, we're going to be transparent. You know, it's totally transparent to me what's going on, you know, but it sure isn't transparent to most people. You know, everything's done behind secret.
The best summary that I know of was told to us by George Green, who I now count as a friend. He's a Project Camelot witness, and Kerry Cassidy and I interviewed him in 2008. That interview is available. If anyone Googles Project Camelot and George Green, you'll get that interview. It's a good one. And one of the stories that he told, and he tells this, he's been telling this story for years, actually, in many interviews that he's given, is that quite a while back, he found himself at a meeting where he was being invited to be the fundraiser for Jimmy Carter's presidential nomination for his campaign before he was elected president. And the person who asked him was Paul Volcker. And George said, Jimmy who? I never heard of this guy. And he said, Jimmy Carter. He's going to be the next president. And George said, but I've been voting Republican. And Paul Volcker said, don't worry, son. We control both sides. And that's a story that George likes to tell. And it's a very simple story. And I've absolutely no doubt that that's true. Absolutely no doubt. It doesn't matter who the president is. It's like, what is it about that that people don't understand? The evidence is around us in history. It doesn't matter who the president is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's, I call them Republicrats, you know, it's, or whatever. you know, but it's the same. It's all the same. You know, it's just the, you know, what they got, one puppet on one hand, one puppet on the other hand, and same puppet master.
Going back to what you were saying about the claims that mass arrests are going to happen at any moment and so on and so forth, and there's nothing that we have, it's like my take on the situation that we're in is as follows, and once again, we haven't spoken about this personally, but it wouldn't surprise me if we agreed quite strongly that being here as a human being on planet Earth is a training program. It's a training program that we've signed up for. It's a heck of an experience. You can have a lot of fun while you're in class, and you've got a lot of things that you can work on. It's all a kind of multidimensional experience because you're working on yourself, and at the same time, you're helping people out, and you're dealing with your karma, and you're solving problems or trying to solve problems that you may not have been able to solve successfully before. And the whole thing has to be seen in a long view. And here we are, this lifetime, and the evidence of how successful that we've been as human beings in taking responsibility, solving our problems, and being stewards of the planet and stewards of each other is all around us. And we're living in a planet that is becoming trashed every year. It's like simply during the 2 hours of our conversation that we'll be having here, and I forget the statistics, they're laid out in Tom Hartman's
it's
book.
A mess. It's, you know, that
after you go on.
Yeah, it's I'm losing you here now, but it's okay because you're breaking up every night. I think you're done.
Oh God, okay. All right. What was the last thing you heard me say?
Something about I'm sure they caught it at the studio, but something about just the time we've been on, something happened.
Oh yeah, well sure, okay. I don't have the statistics to hand, but it's like during the 2 hours that we've been on, you know, there are species that have become extinct. There are thousands of children who've died of malnutrition. There are dozens of square miles of Amazonian rainforest that are being felled and burned. You know, the whole planet is being systematically trashed in front of our eyes. You know, and this paradise is being eaten away as if by some kind of an acid right in front of us. And this is our time to see whether we can rise to the occasion and whether we can actually do something about it. And this is all part of our training program. This is all part of the responsibility that we can choose to take or not, as the case may be. And it's not about just kind of talking and writing blogs to each other. And even interviewing each other doesn't make any difference. You have to go out there and actually do something, either in the spiritual universe or in the physical universe, or ideally both. But there's an enormous cleanup operation to do, and it's possible. And the opportunity that we have, the energetic doorway that we have, the energetic support, the spiritual support from spiritual beings, off-planet beings, from other external factors, may allow us to take this responsibility. They may just be a doorway that we can walk through and say, okay, now we're going to grasp this metal and we're actually going to do something that we've failed to do before. And the reason why the planet is in a mess is because of the collective failures of any one of us who happens to have been around for the last few thousand years. We've all screwed this up. This is the problem. This is what we have to do. We have to look in the mirror. It's not a matter of blaming the politicians. We have to blame ourselves. When I say blaming ourselves, I don't mean blaming ourselves in the sense that we're kind of beating up on ourselves. It's like, it's the essence of responsibility is to look in the mirror and say, this is what I've done, this is what I haven't done. If I'm not sure what I've done and what I haven't done, then let's look at my life and the evidence of the world around me. And then you get to it. You plant your feet right here in the here and now, and then you do something about it. And this is the opportunity that we have. You know, as a human race, we have this opportunity now, and we've got a window of opportunity that may be a couple of decades before it all slams shut again. I do think I am an optimistic, and I'm not a fearmonger. The fact that I ridicule the imminent arrests and put them in the same bucket as the Nasara payments and the reevaluation of the dinar, you know, doesn't mean that I'm a cynic, and it doesn't mean that I'm negative. It doesn't mean that I'm a fearmonger. It doesn't mean that I'm a doommonger. It just means that I'm putting the attention where I think it needs to be, which is that people need to do work. They need to do active work. They need to do work on themselves. They need to do work in the real world. They need to look upon themselves and say, is what I'm doing right now helping the world be a better place or not? And if it's not, then I shouldn't be doing this. And if we get everything right, it might take a couple of generations to fix this planet. If not, we may be in trouble. And I think that it could go either way. That's my summary. And I'd love to ask you what your take is on that.
Yeah, I see what's interesting is that we do have quite a few different people coming up here. And I know some Air Force base commanders and a few other people. And I've been, you know, trying to get an inside track on this, some kind of validation. You know, I know there is some white hat activity going on. There's a lot of people disgruntled over what's happening and really upset about the loss of freedom. You know, they all took oaths, you know, to uphold the Constitution, and there is a lot of that happening, and I think that's being amplified energetically. That, you know, it's just part of a process. But you know, I have not been able to get any verification whatsoever that these bases have been taken out or you know, on a physical level. So it's kind of weird. So that's where I'm coming from. I know there's a lot of things going on. I know the ETs are assisting us in a lot of ways. A lot of the assistance we're not even going to know about, because that's how they operate. They operate through consciousness and energy and through the grids, and they inspire people and things like that. But you know, a lot of people aren't even going to know about that or where that's coming from. But at the same time, it's like, you know, the more science grounded part of me is saying, show me one of these guys, you know, Bush or Kissinger or you know, Gates or all these people they're saying that have been arrested, they keep popping up at fundraisers and, you know, on, you know, doing lectures and fancy dinners, and the same people just keep popping up. And and a lot of people say, well, they're all cloned, you know, those are just their clones, because we have the real one. you know. You know, anything's possible, but I would just love to see, you know, a photograph of you know, the beady little eyes looking at me behind bars, you know, and some kind of paperwork.
Yes. As best I know, nothing like that has happened yet. And I do agree with you that these things ultimately are not impossible. But I would like to think, you know, that the world might start to take a significantly different direction. We may have a lot of evidence around that to support that. I don't know, in about another 10 or 15 years, let's say. And then, but if we don't have that evidence around us within 10 or 15 years, then I think that we're going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't attach any importance to the much touted end of the Mayan calendar. This is something I'd like to ask you about as well. Do you think that the end of the Mayan calendar has any particular significance?
You know, the only thing that I'm thinking about basically is that this alignment coming up seems to coincide with, you know, we're getting a lot of information and it's backed up by science that, you know, as I said before about this major event we're coming up to, and that's that alignment with galactic plane and Alcyon, the central sun, all these things. There's major planetary alignments with, you know, with Venus and this, you know, and every time that happens, major shifts happen. So, you know, I'm just looking at all the evidence of that. And then my own inner guidance, they're talking about that as well. And I'll tell you what's happening from my, okay, there's two parts of me. One is the spiritual part of me that's having all this guidance. And some of these beings, like these fifth and sixth and seventh dimensional beings, Pleiadians, Andromedans, Arcturians, whatever you want to call them, you know, a lot of them are almost sounding biblical when they talk, and they talk about, you know, God as being a frequency and a force, you know, and, you know, we have all these names and images of it, and it's beyond all that. And they talk about that we are, that tyranny is going to implode on itself, which aligns with the Native American prophecies as well, that the beast will consume itself. And that we are going to have a lot of help from the star nations coming in after that, and the ultra dimensionals. You know, I do believe that's in the works, and it's happening right now. You know, as far as an exact date, even the Mayan elders say, they don't really say it's not an exact date. They said we know these events are going to happen, but it's hard for them to nail it down. But you know, we got to get through May and June first, you know, before there's some huge energies coming in May and June. We got to get through those, and we'll see what happens after that. But they're telling me
what
something.
What information do you have about May and June? I'm very curious.
You know, I'm kind of spaced out. I don't know why. I've been just so pressured with all this court stuff, and my head's just fried. But May 5th, I'm trying to remember what happened on May 5th. It was a major event, like an alignment and some other things. We had some big CMEs come in. And then May 20th, we have a solar eclipse, a major eclipse. Oh, May 5th was like the WESAC moon, which was the moon came closest to the Earth. It has in like, I think it's 50 years or something. And it was just a huge moon, and it was very close to the Earth, and that put a lot of pressure, you know, on the tides, you know, people get a little loony, you know, when that happens. But, you know, that was one thing that happened, and there was a lot of energy came in with that, and a lot of people focusing in intention experiments around the world, you know, to create a shift, which I think is a great idea. The other one is this major eclipse on the 20th, and then there's another event. I'll have to go back and look at it. But June, I think there's two major alignments coming up in June, huge planetary alignments, And there's some people that are in the know about, you know, these planets are just like capacitors, and energy jumps from one to the other to the other, and Earth is in that system. So, you know, if we get some major coronal mass ejections or flares coming off, or you know, these alignments with galactic plane, and these all these planets are going to be, you know, making a nice little like a conduit, you know, coming into the Earth, you know, definitely we're going to have some major changes and shifts, you know. But you know, my take on it is that we have individual choices being made, and I think there's as many experiences as there are people making choices out there as to what their future is going to be. And then you have collective consciousness and those choices, and if people are going to keep running like lemmings off the cliff, you know, and not wake up and see what's going on, you know, that has a flow to it. You've got Earth, you know, Mother Earth doing her thing, which is to cleanse and heal and move to the next level. And you've got the powers that were, I call them, that are doing everything they can to stop this process. So there's a lot of, it's like a horse race, and everybody's jockeying for position right now. And, but I think the energies behind the Earth moving up in frequency, moving to the next level and healing and fulfilling, you know, Lakota prophecies, Cherokee prophecies that I know about, I think those energies are so strong and so big, it's unstoppable. And those who are trying to stop it are just going to create such a karmic backlash that they will implode. You know, they're just going to, you know, the tyranny and all the what do you call it, the and all their institutions, I think, are just going to fold in on themselves.
It's a very inspiring view, actually. A short while ago, I had the pleasure of talking to Dr. Bill Deagle, who mm-hmm. many of your listeners will know. Do you know Dr. Bill personally, James?
Not personally. I have watched a lot of his information that he's put out there, and I think a lot of it's spot on.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy, very, very interesting man, and a lot of people regard him as being a doomsayer and a fearmonger, but they don't understand that he has another message behind that. And when I spoke to him, I asked him whether he planned to stay exactly where he was, and where he is, as many people may know, he lives in Southern California, about 15, 20 miles inland from Oceanside. And many people would regard that as being a vulnerable place to be. And I asked Dr. Bill whether he planned to stay there. Did he have a plan B? You know, was he kind of going to stay in the U.S.? What did he think was going to happen? And so on and so forth. And I really wish that I had recorded his answer, because it was really very inspiring. He just said, you know, that each of us may have their own version of these words to describe what he was trying to convey here. But basically, he was saying that he was confident that the spirit would guide him to make the right decisions, even when the time came. And he wasn't going to try and be so humanly arrogant as to try and figure it out beforehand and to second guess whatever a divine plan might be. Now, he has a sort of Christian viewpoint. It's like a sort of he has a deeply Gnostic Christian viewpoint on this. But you can easily translate that into other languages, into other forms of words. And one might say, for instance, that even when it becomes clear what is the right thing to do, then one will know that, if one extends one's intuitive antennae to be able to receive whatever messages, either from whatever guides one might have, or even from one's own higher self or inner knowingness, whatever metaphors you want to use. And I haven't said that nearly as well as Dr. Bill did. But the point may resonate with some of your listeners here, because the idea is that when people ask themselves, where should I be, where should I go, and what should I do? And I get these kind of questions all the time. I'm sure you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get people asking you these things.
Yes.
Yeah. And my answer has always been that it's different for every person. That there's no stock answer for where one should be, what one should do, where one should go. And that if one calls upon one's own inner guidance, then you'll know at the right time. And the other thing, just bookmarking that, because there's a question which I want to ask you about that in a moment. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that Dr. Bill said, you know, that he also is convinced that in the end the beast will consume itself. Mm-hmm. But if we can give that process as much of a helping hand along the way, then it's going to happen that much faster and it's going to be that much more certain. That too is not mm-hmm. going to happen, not necessarily going to happen automatically. It's also got something to do with us. But actually, yeah. He's very optimistic about the idea that even though we may endure some hard times along the way, that in the end, it's actually going to work out. And the process of getting from here until it works out is all part of the learning process and the training process for us all. Those are the two things that Dr. Bill said, which I thought were really quite interesting. But the question that I want to ask you about that is do you feel certain within your own mind or your own spirit that you will stay here whatever happens to this country, whatever happens to this country politically, economically, geographically, geophysically, you're going to stay here in Trout Lake, are you?
You know, I can't say yes or no to anything anymore. That's where I'm coming from. I'm open to different possibilities. You know, for all I know, you know, I could, you know, if a beam ship came down and they said, hey, you're done here, you know, great job, you know, but it's time to go home. you know, I would, if, you know, it'd be tough. You know, I don't think I would have a problem, you know, go ahead and stepping on that ship, you know, to be honest with you. But, you know, if my spiritual family was said, hey, you know, great, you know, time to go. But, and if I'm called to go somewhere else, I mean, I've been here 25 years holding down the fort and, you know, anchoring the energy in here. So, you know, I'm still guided to do that, to keep things going here. Right now, you know, I'm staying with that, but I'm not, there's two things I go by. One, you know, a great master once told me, I was meditating and Babaji came in and he said, you know, it's time to lovingly and joyously prepare. He said, don't get into fear. He said, watch your visions, watch the inner guidance. You know, be sure and pay attention to your dreams, you know, and you know, the future visions and everything else. And he said, but don't get into fear. Just, you know, use it as guidance. Okay. That means I need to do this or this or this, you know? So, but I have a little different take on it because, I'm always getting chastised that they were calling me future boy on the other side, and they're saying, you know, stop. They said, I'm going in the future so much, they're telling me to stop it, you know. So I was having, you know, observing different potentials and different realities that were probably going to happen. And, you know, I did. I saw some major tsunamis happen. I saw some very big quakes. Some of the beings have told me very clearly, you know, the books I wrote in 1982 that were messages from Ezekiel, you know, he talked about, you know, these coming times. He talked about the international banksters, you know, who they were, what they're up to. He talked about the suppression of the fuelless energy technologies, you know, talked about the major quakes, the sun, you know, going, expanding, coming into the future cover all of this stuff, you know, and the reunion with the Star Nations. And it's kind of amazing, but I you know we're in those times right now that we, you know, we brought out in 1982. It's all unfolding. And so it's kind of interesting when you go back and look at it, you go, wow, that was right on. And you know, there's a lot of other stuff that he said that my publisher actually had me take out. They wouldn't let me put it in there because they said it was just freaking people too much. But, you know, he was talking about the fires, you know, the massive fires because of the changes in the erratic weather, you know, and things like that went through San Diego. You know, we had all those massive fires here. And, you know, he talked about all this stuff coming up. And, you know, this was way back before, you know, these major quakes that hit, you know, the San Francisco quake and all the other stuff. And they gave us exact dates. I mean, we had the exact date of the San Francisco quake. And it was, they told us it was going to be 6.9, which were the first readings were 6.9. But then they bumped it up to, I think, 7.2 or 4 or something. I don't know later. But, you know, if you're getting information like that and you're watching it unfold, you know, to me, I'm kind of a different animal than a lot of people. I have to go on that and I have to pay attention to that kind of information. And if people ask me, I'll share it with them. But I tell you, it's not fun to tell people, you know, that there are some major changes, you know, in the works and things like that, because you're challenging their comfort zone and their survival, you know, survival energies and things like that. And they don't want to hear it. Yeah, I got run out of Dodge when I told people in Santa Cruz that this huge quake was coming and gave them the date and time. And even the spiritual groups threw me out, you know, were chastising me and, you know, saying I was a doom and gloomer and all this other stuff and I should leave. And then after it hit, they charged me and said I made it happen.
You know? Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, there was no
humility. That's the definition of a no-win situation, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Boy. So I have a little different.
Can I ask you? You're breaking up here, James, just a little bit. Am I cutting into you?
You really broke up on that one. Can you try that again?
Okay, sure. Sorry, I couldn't hear you either. No, I heard a silence, and I wasn't quite sure whether you'd stopped or whether I just stopped hearing you, as it were. Can I ask you? Is there any hard information that you've been told about future events that has not yet happened because it may still be in the future? Did those experiences that you had when you, in your own words, you were run out of Dodge, have they made you very wary about making prognostications? Or do you feel that now, 20-odd years later, actually 30 years later, I guess, it's safe to talk about some of the things that you were given to know?
You know, basically, I do talk about certain things. We talked a lot about Japan, the quakes and the tsunami hitting Japan before that happened, and I was kind of torn between how much do I say. In that one, but you know, I've still seen some major earth movement, major quakes and tsunamis hitting both the East Coast and the West Coast and other countries as well, and those haven't happened yet. So something's got to happen with what we're doing to the East Coast with all the oil spills and we've basically killed that sea there. We've really screwed it up. And now there's the North Sea. There's another major one going off. So, you know, I just, that's gotta be cleaned up somehow. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly how nature's going to do it. And again, you know, we might get some, there might be some divine intervention involved. You know, I don't know. It's hard for me to think that something that major where people are continuing to ravage the planet is not going to have consequences or a serious backlash.
I do. Yeah, I really, really understand that. The events that you feel that you know are going to happen, whether it's on the East Coast or the West Coast or both, did you get any idea of any kind of dates or timing or sequencing on that? Or is it just one of those things that even when something happens, then you will know, it's like, oh my God, that's what I was looking at all these years, but I never knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, sometimes the information is very specific. Most of the times it's a vision and I see it happening. And then I have to kind of figure out where it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And those two are really tough to nail down. You know, sometimes I'll get a heads up. They'll tell me, you know, I'll get a message and they'll tell me. Or I'll see something along with the vision that'll give me a good idea of where it's going to be. The when part is really hard to nail down. You know, they gave me some real accurate information in the past, but now they're saying that we're just in a different flow, you might say, that's very volatile. It's very it has different outcomes that can happen, and it can be changed, you know, if enough people wake up and shift their consciousness and energy and shift in action, we can divert all this stuff. And we can actually invite help from the higher dimensions and these other beings to come in and help us. You know, if we choose a path of peace and restoration and we want to go in that direction. So I just put all my energy into get people to, hey, start taking responsibility, start cleaning up your own home first. And then we can clean up the as a collective, you know, and, don't participate in anything that's harmful to humanity and the earth anymore. Just don't involve yourself in it.
Yeah. You certainly can't argue with that. I would 100% agree with that. What really struck me about what you were saying there was, I think that the words you used was that things are more volatile now. Or if you didn't say those words, that's very much the way that it resonated with me. For example, I can be really focused on one potential problem or one issue or something which I'm concerned about might possibly happen, and have a really strong attention on that for several days. And then I find myself that the following week, that's all kind of evaporated, and then I'm worried about something else. And it's not like I'm volatile. I'm pretty sure about this. I've done a lot of introspection about this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's not that I'm misperceiving things. I really think that things change out there from week to week. It's like what we do, or let's say what I do, because I can only really speak for myself, is I perceive what's on my radar, but the radar blips keep changing because things are kind of moving around kaleidoscopically. The energy is moving, the probabilities are moving, the kind of direction of the timeline is kind of moving around, and it's absolutely not settled yet. We can only deal in terms of probabilities, and these probabilities and possibilities change from week to week. Does that kind of concur with the way that you see it?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm seeing is that, you know, you'll see, you know, a good example is the what we're dealing with on you know, with the courts and things like that. I mean, it looked pretty ugly. It looked like nowhere out, and it looked like we were just going to have, you know, the hammer come down on us and the big boot and everything else in the beginning. And we kept changing that reality and cleaning the energy up and you know, moving the chess pieces around and you know, kept focusing on it. And we had a lot of people, you know, focus on, you know, in intention experiments. Okay, let's change this reality. It went from a dark hole that looked like no way out to now we're out of it. And through and it kept getting lighter and lighter and lighter and kept transforming. So we may or may not, it looks like we're out of it, but you never know with these people, you know, they're not really rational, but,
yeah,
you know, when you're dealing with crazy people, you know, it's like you could expect anything, or human egos or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, it's just insane what we've been having to deal with. I mean, there's no logic or reason behind it other than personal, you know, agendas and egos. But, you know, that's a wild card. You know, that's the problem. Whenever you throw humans into the batch, you got this wild card there that you don't know where it's going to go. And that's what free will's all about. And, you know, one person could just do something outrageous that would set, you know, a firestorm in motion or a huge wave of change. And all of a sudden, everybody's going to go, wow, yeah, let's do this. You know, it's like the Occupy movement. You know, the same thing, you know, just, you know, all of a sudden one big name steps up to the plate and says, you know what, and is very eloquent and lays it out. And people go, you know, that makes sense. Yeah, let's do this, you know. And so, you know, it's kind of like that. That's, you know, anonymous, all these things coming out now are spilling the beans and making all this information known that used to be hidden. So, you know, the question is, are we going to act on it? And are we going to unify and rise to the occasion? Or are we just going to, you know, take this downward spiral? And I think that's individual.
Right. Something that all makes me think about, this must be something that you know all about, and that is this work that was done by Chet Snow many years ago, who wrote this book called Mass Dreams of the Future. You know all about that, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. You may know more about it than I do. It's worthwhile discussing it, actually, just very, very briefly so that your listeners know that what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Chet Snow did a very interesting piece of research, and I think he had some collaborators. You know more about it than me, I suspect. Let me start off doing a summary here. And what he did, basically, was that he was sort of hypnotically progressing people into a future, not regressing people, but progressing people. In other words, asking them to move forward down the time track to a future and then to describe what it was that they saw. And he did this with hundreds of people and then collected the results and published all this in this book that's called Mass Dreams of the Future. And from what I remember, he was able to categorize these various accounts of a future world into four distinct alternative timelines, ranging from the utopian to the catastrophic. And one of the things that introduced to people at that time who hadn't come across this concept before was the idea that there may be parallel alternative timelines ahead of us, maybe a large number of those, but what Chet Snow described as four main ones, four kind of ones that could be easily categorized as being different from each other. And then there's this fascinating metaphysical concept that it's possible that all of those simultaneously exist potentially for all of us, and then it's a matter of personal choice which of those metaphorical four roads ahead of us we want to travel down. And you may know more about this than I do, and I welcome all your comments on that, or any clarifications and corrections you've got. But this has all got to do with potential futures.
Yeah, I read that book, God, a long time ago. Basically, you know, I've been thinking the same thing is that one teacher I love what she said that, you know, there's as many futures as there are people. because everybody's making choices and different types of choices. But, you know, there's also a collective kind of inertia that's going for the collective consciousness where that's going to affect everybody. And I know, have you listened to the two Russian women, the scientists that are talking about they decoded the crop circles?
No, I don't know about that. Please tell me.
Well, it's quite interesting because they said that there's going to be like three major cataclysmic events. Now, don't quote me on this. I'm not, because it was breaking up. I was trying to listen to the whole thing, and I got bits and pieces of it. It was kind of hard to understand. But basically, they were saying there was going to be three major cataclysms, and that we have to unify as a people and focus on, you know, love and joy and peace and harmony and things like that to avoid these three major cataclysms. She said after the first cataclysm, I believe she said that one there, it's going to be harder after the first one to deal with this. And they're talking about the sun, you know, just really ripping some CMEs and flares our way, as well as a huge quake that's going to inundate the East Coast. But they said that after that, you know, we've really got to do everything we can to unify and raise the frequencies and change the timeline. And if we don't, the next two cataclysms are going to be so horrific. It's going to be terrible. And they said basically that's what the code they got out of the crop circles, that, you know, that what I gleaned out of it is that if we could get our act together as a people and as a planet and unify and just stop the war, stop the separation game going on, and we could totally avert all of this. We could actually shift in frequency and move into a whole different timeline.
Yeah, that has to be doable. And mm-hmm. when we were talking before the show, one of the things, again, that we agreed very strongly about, I mean, it's almost self-evident to people who are who have got even half a foot in the so-called consciousness movement, I guess, is that there's this enormous wave of building awareness which has been growing throughout the planet over the last 10, even 15, 20 years ago. And that probably started 50 or even 60 years ago, and it's been literally building like a wave. And one of the things that I like to say about that is that it's a rising tide that raises all the ships. And that means that wave of awareness, wave of consciousness, wave of increasing responsibility, wave of greater capacity to look in the mirror and reflect, let us say, that's going to apply to the people on the inside, that's going to apply to the people in the Pentagon, it's going to apply to the people in Langley, it's going to apply to the people in government all over the world, to greater or lesser extent. Of course, they're going to be resistive people, they're going to be evil people, they're going to be people who are controlled, the people are going to be demonically controlled. But there are a large number of people on the inside, and you and I both know some of these, who are good people who signed up to the military or into the agencies when they were in their early 20s, believing that they were doing the right thing for their country and for humankind. And only 10, 20 years later did they realize, like so many citizens have realized, that they too were lied to, and that then they're trapped on the inside and they can't really get out, and that they're also sort of quietly working for change, and they're hoping that things will happen, and they're doing what they can within limited means. But that this rising awareness and this gradual increasing awakening is also happening in all walks of life, in all human beings. It's like, if you're a human on this planet, you can't escape this, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I agree. You know what I love? I love hearing these vets that come back and speak out and talk about what's really going on and how they were deceived and lied to. And, you know, they said, you know, I believe in God and I believe in country and everything else, and what I saw and what I realized, and just the you know, people just making millions off of the death of innocent women and children, and people, you know, leveling whole cities and door to door. You know, they're saying if that happened in the States, I mean, I would be grabbing my rifle. You know, I don't blame these people. You know, and it's all about oil, you know, and resources. And so, you know, my heart goes out to these people that are actually dealing with it, you know, and trying to balance out what happened by letting other people know, hey, this is not right. This is wrong. You know, I think that's amazing. And just all the whistleblowers, I know you've done some amazing work in bringing these whistleblowers out, you know, letting people know what's happening on the inside, what's really happening, you know, that you're not hearing in the news and the mainstream news, which is all totally compromised and corporate owned, you know, like three people own the whole media basically when you get down to it. But, you know, I just think it's, you know, what's the old saying? Armageddon is the great uncovering. It means everything is coming up to the surface. And, you know, whether you believe in good old Yeshua ben Joseph or not, you know, is, you know, he did say, you know, every rock should be, you know, unturned, you know, and all of the iniquities will be shouted from the rooftops. And we seem to be in that phase right now.
You know? Oh, boy. Yeah, so true. Something that you said, this is interesting actually, just to sort of changing the topic very slightly, but it's also relevant because it's all about sort of being open-minded rather than being in denial. Just looking out of the window here, I can see that it's dark, and I'm wondering if there's any kind of a light show that's maybe starting to happen outside. And you were describing to me how people coming here to Trout Lake have very different reactions sometimes when they're faced with the evidence of their own eyes that for some of them it's a life changer and it's almost an enlightening experience. And yet others just kind of shut down and almost run away because they can't handle it. They can't take the truth. And it might be really fun for you just to describe the wide range of reactions that you've heard here, because this is like a microcosm of the reality that is there to be seen anywhere on planet Earth. Of course, this is what we were talking about an hour ago. But Trout Lake is a microcosm of that because you just look up and there it all is, right?
Yeah, and it's funny too because we've had these major ships lining up right over the Baptist Church, and they hovered there for a good 20 or 30 minutes, and we got some photographs of that. They look like something out of Star Trek, you know, like the Enterprise, and there's four of them, but bright red fields of energy around them, and they had a really different shape to them. I think that's kind of interesting, but. You know, what I notice here is that when people see this, when they see these big ships power up or do something crazy up there, you know, or morph from one to four or things like that, there's two common sayings here. And one is, oh, my God. And the other is, you know, WTF, you know, is that, you know, and it's hilarious. Those are the two major sayings that people come up with when they see these things. And then afterwards they go, oh my God, if this is real and I haven't been told the truth about this, what else is going on? You know, what else are they hiding, you know, and covering up? And it does start people on a journey of questioning their reality and questioning, you know, what is real, what is true. You know, do we live in a multiverse and is it full of life? You know, maybe the Earth is just quarantine because we are so aggressive and primitive, you know, in the way we behave. You know, it turns people's reality kind of upside down a little bit, but then it also really opens them up to a greater reality or greater universe.
There's a funny story that you told. You said that there's one guy who came, and he just couldn't handle it at all. He ended up with a real headache, and he couldn't bear to face what he was, what the evidence is presenting him with. And you said there's some other people who literally took themselves away because they just couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Somebody, like a lot of times, a wife will drag her husband up here, you know. And, you know, he's very locked into mainstream and social consciousness and very left-brained, you know, and they'll come up. And a lot of times they try to deny it. They try to explain it. And then something really crazy happens, and then it just pushes them over the edge, you know, that they can't deal with. And the energy here is really high. And so if there's a lot of resistance, you know, sometimes people will get headaches, so they'll just fall asleep and just sleep the whole time they're here. It's really interesting how everybody, you know, reacts differently to the energy. And with some people, it pushes up all of their wounds and traumas just come right up to the surface. And, you know, and it's a golden opportunity to heal and take a look at what's coming up, you know, or you can go into the projection blame game and not go anywhere with it. But, you know, it's up to each individual how they experience the energy here. And it's been interesting over 25 years observing how people react, you know, to the consciousness and energy that's here.
It's a little hard to imagine somebody coming here and just falling asleep.
Yeah.
I can't possibly imagine that, you know.
Well, I mean, sometimes
I mean,
just...
you're just surrounded by so much energy here, you know.
It's just
that's like a comical sort of idea to me. But, I mean, once again, that's not intended in any disrespect to anyone who's experienced that. It's sometimes we've got to process stuff, and when we're processing things, we just kind of shut down.
Well, I know sometimes people in their sleep state have amazing experiences here, and they have incredible dreams and higher dimensional visitations and things like that. So, and sometimes the only way people can process energy is to just lay down, and because their body has to readjust to the energy, and so sometimes it's good, you know, that's just the way they process it or have to deal with it. But you know, it is starting to get dark out here. It's probably just now dark enough to start pulling out the night vision gear. You know, I don't know if you want to wander out to the field and start you know, looking around and seeing if anything's flying, or maybe interview some of the people out in the field that are sky watching. You know, it's
well, it'd be a pleasure to do that. I'm just taking the mobile phone here, and I'm just walking out into the cold night air here. Just walking through the kitchen. It is dark outside. You're absolutely right.
And, grab it on the way out if you need a jacket. So.
I spent 11 years living in Scotland, so I've got a high tolerance for the cold. And I'm just walking out into this open area here. I'm feeling like an on-the-spot roving reporter.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
Walking past all the little lights that you've got here.
I know there's probably a lot of people still in the guest house there listening to the show. And I mean, hopefully they can come out and join you in. And you can interview some of them that have been here for the past couple of days. And we've had some just amazing sightings.
Yeah, that would be fun, actually. I can't see anybody. But I'm standing out here in this beautiful open sky surrounded by the pine trees on the horizon. And I can see the shadow of Mount Adams in the distance. This is the most staggeringly beautiful place. And there's a group of people in front of us here. One of them's got a camera. I can see the LCD of the camera. And I'm looking up at the sky now just to see whether I can see anything remarkable. Ah, and someone's just handed me a pair of night vision goggles. My God, I never even used these before. That's pretty spectacular. around. Everything's kind of bright and green, but I don't see anything moving around. I guess what I would do is I would use my eyes and to see, you know, that's a plane. Okay, nothing's happening right now, folks. This is...
yeah, maybe you should just interview some of the people there, and you know, they can talk. I think Allie's out there, and Chuck, and there might, there's probably who's got the camera out there, and ask her what she's been up to. You know, she's got some amazing footage here.
Well, Allie would be a great person to have on. Anybody? Is Allie on?
No.
That's a great shame, because it's a and Allie is a visitor. She works in Seattle, so she's come here on occasions, and she told me that she had seen hundreds of craft. And I don't anyone who's listening to this who didn't hear the start of the show will have heard me describe how I came here for just a few hours 5 years ago with my Project Camelot partner, Kerry Cassidy. And we were just sort of hopeful that we just might possibly see something. We were just here for one evening, and we were treated with a real display. And then James, as nonchalant as ever, told us that, oh, this happens every night, you know. So if it's a clear night, they'll put on a show, especially if it happens.
Yeah. Well, if you give it about, be out there for about, I'll bet you in the next 3 or 4 minutes, something's going to be flying over your head, because this is usually when they start it up. And you know, if you got some spotters out there, or people looking for things, maybe they can point something out. But, you know, whoever's listening to the show, you guys, why don't you come out to the Skywatch field and see who's out there. You're breaking up.
So I'm going to give the phone here. This is Christine, who also lives in Ecuador. And first visit to Trout Lake. You're on live radio. Here you go.
Gee, thank you. Hi. Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. This is so beautiful out here. It is awesome. Just gorgeous. So you've got a group of people out here. We've got a telescope and a big telephoto camera, and it looks like it might be a great night.
Nice. Do they have the night vision goggles out there?
Do anybody have the goggles up? Yep, they're out here.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look over to the east there.
But
the
I'm
east,
expecting
if,
to.
If you're facing the mountain, the east is on your right.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times if you look up in the sky to the east, that's like the highway.
Okay.
And that's where we see a lot of activity in that area. But they come from every direction, it seems like. But I would imagine that probably in the next few minutes, yeah, we've only got, 10 minutes left on the show, but I'm sure something's going to be flying over there if it's anything like it's been the last 3 or 4 days. We just had incredible activity.
Well, I'll keep my eyes to the sky, and it's still on.
Right. Whoops. Looks like we lost. Hello. It's like we lost our Sky Watchers. Maybe we can call them again. interesting. Looks like we lost. We're going to see if we can get them back on the show here. They'll ring the phone again and hook them back up. Somebody probably accidentally pushed the wrong button. But anyway, I can hear a lot of people filing out into the field, and you know, hopefully we can get some you know, people that are spotters that can see the ships flying in and out. We just got a slight disconnect. I don't know if they're running back to grab another phone. Hopefully it wasn't the power that just went out. The phone should be fully charged. They're calling right now. Looks like nobody's Nobody's hooking up yet. Well, anyway, we'll get back out to the field here soon. But we have the infamous Bill Ryan, and he's out as our roving reporter out into the Skywatch field. It just now got dark here, and people are kind of filing out into the field. I think we've got somebody. Hello.
Hi, this is Bill.
Oh, okay, great. We're back.
Yeah, I think I wandered out of range there. I started to wander out into the middle of the field.
Yeah, you got to stay kind of
close. By the incredible landscape and the skyscape up there.
You got to stay kind of close to the tower here. If you get too far away, you'll lose the connection. Yeah, I hear people filing out into the field now. Is anybody out there that you might want to? You can just throw it on speakerphone. It's that dial in the button in the middle there. Push that button, it'll put you on speakerphone, and then you can go around and interview people.
Well, right. I wanted to try and find Allie because it's her birthday today, and yeah. She's a regular visitor and has seen hundreds of craft here, and I thought it would be quite cool actually to get her on the air. But it's a little hard to identify anybody because everyone's in the pitch dark.
Maybe you need a runner out there. I don't know if Nate or Jan or somebody else is out there that can round people up for you, but that's probably the best way to do it.
Okay, well, let me try one more time, and if I'm if I cut myself off, it's because I've wandered out of range again. But people are kind of gravitating towards the edge of the field. Can you still hear me, James?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Okay. Right. Now.
Yeah, you could grab... see if Gio's out there. I hear Gio's voice, and maybe you can... have Gio round people up for you.
Okay. I like you looking for Gio, but I'm happy to. You're on live radio. Why don't you talk to James?
Okay.
And he's right here on the other side of the telephone. And what we're doing here is we're just.
Whoops. We lost you.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Oh, did it get cut again?
I think we're wandering out of range here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got to come back just a little bit.
Right now. Let's do that. Let's do that.
Yeah, I guess I'll call us right back.
Well, you know, this stuff's been pretty well for an hour and three quarters.
Yeah, it
happened. Okay, we're still hooking up into the field, trying to get somebody online for an interview.
Oh,
anybody out there?
Hi, this is Bill.
Okay.
Is that Ali? I need to have something.
I think everybody's still listening to the show. Yeah, they're radio shy and don't want to talk about what they've seen up here. I think Nate's on. Hey, Nate, are you out there? Sounds like we might have lost him again. I think there's so much energy out there we keep losing them. We might have to try to call the field again. Hello, Bill. Looks like we lost Bill again. I think he's out skipping around in the field or here he got beamed up, but we'll see what happens. We'll try to reconnect with him again. All righty. But in the meantime, you know, we've only got just a few minutes left, so hopefully we can grab just a couple guests.
Hey, James, this is Bill. Can you hear me?
Yeah, got you again. We keep losing you.
Okay. It's not going to work, my wandering out into the field. We just don't have the range on these handsets here. It's a great shame because they're increasingly gathering crowd of people there and this kind of staring up at the sky. There's a lot of experience between them. But
yeah.
I'm afraid it's not going to work. I'm going to have to stay here.
Yeah,
and,
coming up at the end of the hour anyway. We've only got maybe 3 minutes left. So, you know, what's the best way that people want to stay in touch with you? You know, what's the best way for people to contact you?
Okay. My email address is publicly available. It's bill@projectavalon.net. All one word, projectavalon.net. And the Project Avalon Forum is my home base. And if the easiest way to find that is just to Google Project Avalon Forum. And I'm regularly there. We welcome applications for membership. And it's widely acknowledged to be one of the more intelligent, friendly, welcoming, sane, and safe places to be on the Internet. And that's kind of my home base at the moment. And I interact very regularly with all of the members. And we discuss all of the things that we've been talking about on this show on an ongoing basis. And any visitors here, any listeners who would like to get in touch and who haven't so far done so, I welcome hearing from them. It would be a great pleasure.
Great. The I'm sure the studio is picking you up okay, but it's a little sketchy on my end. We're having a little bit of electronic problems, and I think that is because the solar flare. It seems like our phones just don't have the distance they used to have, and it's the exact same phones we've been using for a long time. But there's some kind of energetic thing going on that's affecting, you know, everything, even the Skype and everything else we're using out here. So who knows? Somebody might have turned the juice up on the vortex.
I like that as a concept, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I'll be able to join you shortly. I'll bring out some toys. I'll bring out the infrared spotlight and the lasers, and we'll have the night vision and we'll join the rest of the crew out there and see what flies in and what's flying about the field and probably have a good old time out there.
Well, right on. And so let me close, James. Thank you so much for inviting me for this conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's felt like the two of us just been sitting down, having a cup of coffee and shooting the breeze and catching up. And I'm delighted that our worldviews coincide to such an extent. And for any of you who wind up listening to this and who don't know about James and his work, now, you should give your website out. I guess you do that every time you broadcast, James.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can just go to eSETI.org and check out, you know, all the footage and photos. And it's being revamped right now, so we'll have a lot of new footage up there soon.
And James and his team here, they welcome visitors with a little bit of notice. You can stay overnight if you call up or email in advance and find out if there's room for people to stay. James is one of the most open-hearted people I know, and he welcomes people like welcoming them into his own family. And if you've never seen a UFO and you want to, then here they are. And you don't even have to look for them on YouTube. You can look up at the skies and you can see them with your very eyes.
Great. Hey, thank you enough for coming on the show. It's a great special appearance, and I'm sure the audience here is just loving it. You know, they're very excited about tonight's show, and we'll have to do it again sometime in the future.
Love to, James. Hey, thank you so much. I'm going to sign off now. I'm going to let you close off, and
right.
I'm going to head off outside to see what's going on up in the sky.
Great.
I'll see you soon.
All right. That's the end of the show, folks. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. I'm going to head out to the field myself and see what's flying. So watch the skies. It's going to get real exciting. And remember that solar eclipse. You're going to be a lot of ships flying around. So grab your cameras. And, there's going to be some – YouTube is just going to be filled with UFO footage with people out there filming the eclipse. They're going to get a little extra surprise. So anyway, have a great evening and watch the skies. Good night.